Hello there. Good evening, or good night, I guess it would be, since it is 9:30 Utah time, 9:37. How's everybody doing? Happy Monday. Happy Eve. This is election night Eve for the Georgia runoff election. We may know by tomorrow night who is going to be in control of the Senate for the next 2 years, at least. And then on Wednesday, we have the big showdown in Congress on January 6th. So we have a lot of things going on this week. And I thought that we would dive in and talk about them. And specifically, I want to talk about this phone call, this recording that was released by Georgia's Secretary of State. And I want to know what you think about it. It covers the full spectrum here. And that's what's so crazy about the times that we live in, is that the exact same group of people can listen to the very same phone call. And one group will say he's just holding those evil Georgia Republicans accountable to their voter fraud. And then another group will say he's committed treason. This is worse than Watergate. In fact, did you see the one tweet going around that the Watergate recordings, when they heard this, they said, "Hold my beer." So which is it? Is it treason? Is it criminal? Is it appropriate? Is it inappropriate? I want to know what you think. Let me know in the comments. Again, if you're on YouTube or on Facebook or whatever else, I will see your comments, those of you on TikTok as well and Instagram. This is Darren joining us on Facebook. He says, "I give Trump credit for destroying the Republican Party." Well, it certainly is a divided party. That is for sure. President Trump has a unique skill, and that skill is he creates incredible loyalty and he creates incredible opposition. You see that in the national election, and you also see that in the ranks of the Republican Party as he forces them to decide. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and it's tragic for those involved, is that people support President Trump when he's being kind of extreme. And he praises them, and they take advantage of his support. But what they don't understand is that when that happens, when you don't hold him accountable to the extremes, and when you defend the indefensible, all you're doing is you're giving him permission to move the line. And at some point, he's going to move the line past where you want to move it. And at that moment, you're going to grow a backbone. You're going to suddenly stand on principle, and you're going to speak out, or you're not going to support him. And in that moment, is Trump going to support you? No, he's going to cast you aside like everybody else. And that's what you've seen from all of these people who stood by Trump. They carried his water for so long, but that allowed him to push the line further and further and further. Until one day they finally woke up and said, "Enough is enough." And that's when he turned on them, and all of his supporters turned on him. This is Tammy joining us on Facebook. Hey, Tammy. She says, "It's his business as usual." It is really interesting, isn't it, that we're talking about another phone call? I mean, wasn't he impeached for a certain phone call? I didn't support him being impeached for that phone call, but I did say that it was absolutely inappropriate and unethical. I didn't think it rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. So now the question is, with this new phone call, have you heard it? With this new phone call, does it rise to criminal activity? Is this just the president trying to enforce election law and trying to expose fraud? Well, guess what? I think in the recording, I think the answers are all there if you want to find him. I think his intent is revealed by these recordings. I think the goal and whether or not he has any evidence is revealed in these recordings. It's all there if you want to listen to it. Now, I'm not going to play all 65 minutes of it. I do think that I am going to post all 65 minutes of the recording to my podcast and to Facebook. That way, if you want to listen to the whole thing, you'll have a convenient, easy way to do that. Let's see, this is Brad joining us on Facebook. I don't think the president can be prosecuted because I think he really believes he won. He's a single cell organism. He ingests power and expels chaos. I love that, Brad. You bring up an important point that's on my list, and that is proving fraud. You would have to prove that he believes that he lost the election and he's trying to get these officials to overturn it. If he truly believes that he won and he truly believes there was voter fraud, then can you prove illegal activity? Brad, you bring up a great point. This is Robin on Facebook. Robin says it was inappropriate. I want to welcome Philby on TikTok. Philby says, listen to the whole call. He lays down facts. I've listened to the whole call. He doesn't lay down facts, Philby. In fact, I'll play for you when he had an opportunity to lay down facts, and he uses words like rumors or that's what I'm hearing. He doesn't lay down facts. And he exposes himself, I believe, in this call and what he really knows and what his real intent is. This is, let's see, Cindy says, that's what happens when you have a wannabe mafia boss for president. And by the way, those of you who are joining me on TikTok and on Instagram, I can see your comments, I can read your comments, I can respond to your comments, but I can't post them on the screen with the system that I'm using like I can with those on Facebook, like Robin, who says the call with Ukraine was inappropriate. And Robin also says the call with Georgia was criminal, in my opinion. And then this is Brandon joining us on Periscope. He says it was illegal, again, just like the Ukraine call. You let him break the law three times now. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a hint up front. I think proving the criminal nature of the call would be very difficult. But I do believe that the call was highly irregular, unethical, and a sign of corruption. And I will play for you the parts of the call where I believe that that becomes very clear. And I think it's also important to point out why the call was released. The intent of the Secretary of State was never to release the call. I don't know if you saw the interview with him. But he said, we've started recording these calls because the president has a tendency to lie or misrepresent what is said on our phone calls. And we've seen this enough to where we thought it would be important to have a record of the calls. And so they recorded the call and then they walked away. They didn't release the call. And then here comes President Trump and he sends out a tweet misrepresenting the nature and the content of the call. And at that point, they decided, well, let's let everybody know what really happened. And so they released the call. I think it's really sad and a really important commentary when Republicans, because remember, Georgia is run by Republicans. Their entire election process run by Republicans, that when Republicans feel that they have to record a phone call with the president of the United States in order to protect themselves and to protect the truth, if that's not a commentary unto itself, and if that doesn't speak to where we're at in our society, it's remarkable. This is Orion. Hey, Orion, joining us on Facebook. Many election and legal experts are saying that Trump's quest to find fraud has been self-fulfilling. We know, we now have proof of election fraud. Trump is the fraud. Well, I've said it many times, if you are alleging fraud, but you can't even, you're alleging fraud in the court of public opinion, but you're not alleging fraud in your court filings, then that should tell you something. And that's really, I would add, the two things I would want you to know about Trump's quest for fraud. One, he's been claiming fraud since 2012. He accused Ted Cruz, who's now going to protest this certification, even though Ted Cruz was a target of President Trump. President Trump accused Ted Cruz of 2016 of voter fraud. When Trump lost Iowa, he went on Twitter and he accused Ted Cruz of voter fraud. Then in 2016, when he lost the popular vote, he said millions voted illegally. They set up a commission to find the alleged fraud. They never found it. This man, when he loses something that is important to him, he claims fraud. That's what he does. Now, combine that. That's the first thing you should know. And combine that with the second thing that you should know, and that is that in his court filings, in the cases with his name on it, he does not allege fraud in any of those court cases. Why is that? He alleges that laws were changed unconstitutionally in states, and that's his right to do so. He alleges that that ballots were allowed to come in later because of decisions that were made, but he doesn't allege fraud in any of his court filings. Those are important things to know as you listen to this phone call and as you try and decide for yourself whether or not what he did here is appropriate. So let's get to the call. And we've got a lot of your comments. I want to get to those as well. This is Amy on Facebook. Hey, Amy, it's time for Trump to stop wasting taxpayer time and money. I want to welcome Rock City on TikTok. Aquiel, is that how you say your name on TikTok? Dave King. Just a reminder on TikTok, I can see your comments. I can't put them on the screen, though, unfortunately. All right, let's get to... Let's get one more comment here. This is Brad. Interesting that Lion Ted plans to do the president's bidding this week. What must be going on in Cruz's mind? I think what's going on is a calculation, a political calculation. I've played for you the audio where he ripped Trump apart in 2016. We also know Trump accused his dad of being part of the conspiracy to kill Kennedy. Remember that? And we also know that Trump accused Ted Cruz of voter fraud. So why is Ted Cruz suddenly coming around? Well, Ted Cruz already ran for president once. I think he has presidential aspirations again in 2024. And he's calculating. He's seeing those 75 million votes for Trump. And he's saying, I need those. And so he doesn't want to abandon them. That's my personal belief about why he is continuing down this path. All right, we'll get to more of your comments, but here's just some of the portions of the call that you might have heard. Again, I'm going to post the entire phone call on Facebook. I'll post it on YouTube. I'll also put it up on the podcast. It's 65 minutes long. I don't want to be accused of not revealing everything in the call. But nor can I sit here and play 65 minutes of the broadcast. So I've picked out the things that stood out to me, and I think that there is some things to be gleaned out of what he says in this call. So starting out here.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall. The problem that you have, Mr. President, is the data that you have is wrong. Now, remember, he's speaking to the people who run the elections in Georgia, and he's speaking to Republicans, okay? It's important to keep that in mind when you talk about this. And I think Amy brings up a really important point. Amy says on Facebook, it's ironic that House members and senators are objecting to the votes for Trump when they were elected on the very same ballot. See, it's very important to point that out as well, that these so-called election fraud antics really helped out a lot of Republicans. And so here's the president convinced that voter fraud happened, telling them that they should open an investigation when they've already, I believe, had four recounts so far. And they continue to answer any requests. And anytime a new video comes out or anytime something new emerges, they go and they look into it. And if you didn't see the election official from Georgia today and his half an hour debunking of every claim made by Trump and diehard Trump supporters, well, I have that for you. And if you missed it, you're going to want to stay tuned because he goes through one by one, from the water main break to the Dominion voting machines to every single allegation made. This guy listens to him, he researches him, he looks into him, and he has a running tally of all of the claims and what the truth is. And by the way, this guy is a lifelong Republican as well. And I hate to say that we live in a world where if you are a Republican and you side with truth, then you lose. And that's really sad to me. That is really sad. Robin says everyone should listen to the entire call. It's pretty crazy. Well, I'll post it so that you can listen to it. Okay, so there is the Secretary of State very kindly saying the information and the facts that you have are wrong. So then the president wants to talk about shredding of ballots.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's
No,
illegal.
Ryan, Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
Well, but no,
an
but
election
have they
on
moved?
Tuesday.
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
You sure,
I'm
Ryan?
sure.
Ryan, are you sure? Are you sure? Did you notice the president uses the word rumors? Did you hear about that? Did you see that? Rumors? That doesn't really convey that he has a lot of truth. We have Jay Mitz on TikTok. He's saying no fraud. The video of the ballots from under the table, no fraud. Well, the Georgia election official deals with that today. He says that Trump and Rudy Giuliani only released part of the video. And if you watch the entire video, which they have posted online, you will see when those arrived under the table and what was in them. But you have to want to know the truth. You can't just believe everything that you're told from somebody who's been claiming voter fraud since 2012. So, Jay Metz, I encourage you to stay tuned because he debunks every single one of those things. And again, lifelong Republican. So it's one of the things that I talked about. Suddenly on November 3rd, two things happened this year that is just remarkable. Everybody became an epidemiologist in a day because they didn't want to wear a mask. So they went online and started doing Google searches. And then on November 3rd, when Trump claimed fraud, they all became election experts. And as this Georgia official points out, that the vast majority of people do not understand how the systems work, and it that makes them gullible to any claim. And he debunks every single one of them. And again, I would ask you, Jay Metz, as I ask every single diehard Trump supporter, why isn't Trump alleging fraud in any one of his lawsuits? Go back and read his filings. And don't tell me judges are refusing to hear it. The evidence that they're going to present is in the initial court filing. The claims they're going to make, the allegations are in the initial court filing. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, alleging vast voter fraud, is not alleging fraud in one of his cases, but he's alleging it in the court of public opinion, but not in a court of law. Why is that? Well, I think it's because he knows that certain people will believe it if he says it. And then they can get shown a video clip, and they've never been in a polling place. They don't have any idea how elections work or how ballots work, but they believe instantly what they're told, as long as it supports Donald Trump. And anybody who tries to clarify that, any Republican who tries to side with the facts, now they're part of the deep state. Or they're dumb, they're a libtard, or whatever else. But I hope you hang out, Jay Metz, because this laundry list that he goes through of allegations is pretty remarkable. Then President Trump moves on to talking about the criminal nature of the election.
You should want to have an accurate election, and you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, no, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard. Removing machinery. And they're moving it as fast as they can, both of which are criminal fines, and you can't let it happen, and you are letting it happen. I'm notifying you that you're letting it happen.
The president consistently through the phone call uses the word rumor and I'm hearing. This is his evidence. Rumors and what I'm hearing. And Brad addresses that on Facebook. You mean they say, or I'm hearing, isn't admissible in a court of law? But here's to me when the call goes from the president just trying to call up and trying to find any way. You know, I don't. Look, if the president of the United States wants to call the Secretary of State and say, look, I'm hearing that this is happening, I'm hearing that that's happening, can you tell me, have you looked into that? Because I want to make sure that we have a free and fair election. If that was all that was in this phone call, I'm hearing about ballot shredding. Can you tell me, is there any evidence to support that? Oh, you've looked into it, there's nothing, okay. What about these Dominion machines? Have you looked into that? Oh, okay, you can't find anything. See, that would be a very different tone. But that's not what's happening here. The president has already decided. He decided before the election even happened. We know that because he vocalized it. So he decided that the fraud was already going to be there. Now he's running around trying to find it. And all of his minions are online trying to find that voter fraud as well for him. Just like when he claimed that millions of people voted illegally in the 2016 election. They had to form a commission, spend millions of tax dollars, and they found nothing. So again, if the president was saying, hey, did this happen? I've been hearing about this. I've been hearing about that. Now, I will tell you, it's still not appropriate. because it's not his job or his capacity as a president. And it's not appropriate because he's a candidate in these elections. There are legal means and methods that you go through in order to do so. So I don't think it's appropriate, but I would at least look at it and say, look, he's hearing things. He's not sure. He wants to call up his Republican buddies and make sure. But this is where the call goes from the president just trying to follow up on voter fraud issues to being despicable, disgraceful, treasonous, whatever word you want to throw at it. This is when the president goes from a fact-finding call to what many are describing as mafia-like or mob-like. Here's the, and you've heard it because the media latched onto this, and they latched onto it for a reason. And I'll tell you the reason.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Now, one more time. Pay attention. This is critical.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
What does the president want? Does he want to find all of the fraudulent ballots? No. Does he want to expose all of the election fraud? No. All he wants is this strange number. 11,780 votes. That's all the man cares about. Why? Because he lost Georgia by 11,779 votes. You see, if you're on a quest to expose voter fraud, or if you're asking for a recount, like let's say that he wanted another recount in Georgia. You don't say, hey, do another recount and find me 11,780 votes. That exposes your true intent. What you say is, do another recount and make sure all the votes are counted and that all the votes are legal. And wherever the chips land, that's where they land. So if it's, if the president believes he won by hundreds of thousands of votes in Georgia, why isn't he asking for all of those things to be exposed? Because he doesn't care about anything else except one thing. And he says it. He absolutely makes it as clear as possible here. He says, all I want. One more time.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
That's all I want. When you were asking and you really care about results and outcomes and legitimacy, you don't assign a number to it because you're not in control of the number. Because the number is what the number is. Right? If they do a recount and they find 15,000 votes and that swings the election, that's what does it. But if they do a recount and they only find 6,000 errors, then that doesn't swing the election. The president is not asking for truth here. He is asking for them to find a specific number of votes from somewhere. And that exposes everything. His intent. It exposes all of it. And in fact, you know, it's not all bad. You don't have to be all angry about everything. You got to love the internet. You really do.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780. Well, 61 more than we have. Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts? 11,780. Well, 61 more than we have. Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No. That exposes everything. This is, let's see, Robin on Facebook. But he claimed to have found over 250,000 fraudulent votes. He would be angry and wanting all his vote. He's not the generous type. I agree with you. And again, when you're asking for vote tallies, this isn't like somebody hasn't met their sales quota on The Apprentice. And he says, go out and find me $11,800 more. This is a situation where you're talking about voters. So you don't ask for a specific number to be found. You ask for accuracy and truth and transparency. That's what you ask for. His intent is clear with the number and the phrase, all I want. All I want. Let's see. This is Amy. When people spoke of using the 25th Amendment to remove Trump before, I thought people were being harsh. But after listening to this call, I'm so glad his term is coming to an end. It just seems to get worse week after week with him. Well, I've been telling you, I hate to be in, I told you so, but this is what happens when you continue to defend the indefensible. You would think that a president who got impeached for a similar type phone call would say, you know, I'm not going to use those type of tactics anymore. But because he really faced no consequences and all the people around him and all of the diehard Republicans who support him didn't hold him accountable in any way, then he is free to continue to push that line forward. In other words, there is no line. If you're not willing to draw a line, there is no line. And I heard one reporter today say, why is it that with this phone call, I'm incredibly shocked, but I'm not surprised. Incredibly shocked and not surprised. This is Darren. Jay, you deserve the Presidential Medal of Honor much more than Limbaugh. Well, thank you. I don't think Trump has got me on his list for any rewards. This is Terry. A second impeachment is coming. I just let him fade away. Just let him fade away. An impeachment will just continue to divide. And it will just continue to solidify and make Trump more of a martyr. I think that they just need to let him fade away. Charity, I wish I had listened to you in 2015. If I had, I wouldn't be part of the reason he's in the White House today. Charity, I will continue to say this, that I don't think anybody should feel bad for voting for Donald Trump in 2016. I think that the choices that were presented to you were so extreme and so, I mean, come on, you're going to vote for Hillary? Do you know what I mean? So I just think that to me, I guess in 2015, you are going back to 2015. I did sound the warning cry during the primary that this is what we're going to get. That's when the choice needed to be made. But I'm not going to beat up anybody in 2016 for choosing Trump over Hillary. Because it's just unbelievable. This is Brad. Jay, oh my goodness, do you have a link to that auto-tune song? Just go onto the Google and type in Trump phone call rent. and it'll come right up. And I'll play it for you again just for kicks.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 bucks. One more than we have. Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts? 11,780 bucks. One more than we have.
No.
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No. No, they haven't. Let's get to, I've got more of your comments coming in. This is Charles on TikTok. Charles says, listen to the whole call that was illegally recorded. As I said, Charles, the call is 65 minutes. I'm going to post it on my Facebook and my podcast so everybody can listen to it. I am admittedly pulling out the parts that were of interest to me. But the question about whether or not it was illegally recorded, now that's a different issue. First of all, I can tell you, having looked at Georgia law, in Georgia, only one person has to know a call is being recorded. There was no confidentiality, no top secret things were being discussed in this call. And so I can't see where the call was illegal. If you think I'm wrong about that, Charles, tell me why. And I would gladly listen to you or consider your point. The other thing I would tell you is even if it is illegal, if the call was illegal, it might be protected under whistleblower laws. So just a thought. But the real point here is that we have the call. We know his intent. We know what he wants. All he is interested in is 11,780 votes. That's all he wants. Here's more of the conversation.
So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. And it's going to be very costly in many ways. And I think you have to say that you're going to reexamine it, and you can reexamine it, but reexamine it with people that want to find answers, not people that don't want to find answers. For instance, I'm hearing Ryan, and he's probably, I'm sure, a great lawyer and everything, but he's making statements about those ballots that he doesn't know. But he's making them with such, he did make them with surety, but now I think he's less sure, because the answer is they all went to Biden. And that alone wins us the election by a lot. You know, so.
Mr. President, you have people that submit information, and we have our people that submit information, and then it comes before the court, and the court then has to make a determination. We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right.
We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right, says the Republican. A little bit more?
Well, under law, you're not allowed to give faulty election results, okay? You're not allowed to do that, and that's what you've done. This is a faulty election result. And honestly, this should go very fast. You should meet tomorrow because you have a big election coming up. And because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president. Okay? They hate it. And they're going to vote. And if you would be respected, if really respected, if this thing could be straightened out before the election. You have a big election coming up on Tuesday.
There is a big election coming up. And do you know who is the most concerned about that election? Republican leadership in Georgia. They're incredibly concerned that the president's actions and allegations about the lack of voter integrity in their state is going to drive people to not vote. And that is going to hand over power to the Democrats. They will control the House and the Senate and the White House. And there are some who are speculating that that's what Trump wants, that he wants to leave a dumpster fire, to leave the door open for him to come in and save the day in 2024. I don't know if that is a calculation that he is making. This is Tammy. Tammy on Facebook says he sounds desperate. He does sound like somebody who really wants something badly and it's just not working out for them. Charity says that sounds threatening. There are those who allege that him bringing up the criminal consequences, he is the chief law enforcement officer of the land, saying, find me 11,000, what is it?
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 bucks, which is one more than we have. Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts? 11,780 bucks, which is one more than we have.
What was I saying? That he's saying, find me the 11,780 votes, and if you don't, you know that we can charge you, that I can sick the Department of Justice on you. Now, he doesn't use those words. I'm not going to put those words in his mouth. But you have to remember that in this call, he is, first of all, he's a candidate for the presidency. And second of all, he's somebody who's sworn to uphold the Constitution. And it is remarkable to me, as we watch what's going to happen on the 6th with all of these Republican congressmen and senators who challenge the validity of this election, and we see the president doing this, that once again, as a conservative, as a Republican, I thought that we really believed in states' rights. And I thought that we really believed in the Constitution. And, you know, the one thing that scares me the most, and I'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow with January 6th, it's not going to work. They're not going to overturn the election. They don't have the numbers to do it. What scares me the most is that if they did have the votes, they could do it. And that's a problem. And they've now opened the door to that in the future. That all you have to do, if you don't like the vote of the people, as long as you have enough votes in the House and the Senate, is just claim election fraud. Have a vote. Throw out the election. That should be frightening to all of us. That really should be frightening. This is Amy. Amy says, let's talk about the fact that as a Republican, I feel like I no longer have a party that I can support. Amy, I completely understand. And I've had to make the calculation. Do I try and fight within and create change within, or do I try and leave and do something else? I just don't think there is room in our system of government for a third party. I think that a third party will split the Republican vote, and it will just guarantee that Democrats remain in power. And I don't want that either. But what I would suggest to you is that there are Republicans every single day who are growing a backbone, and they are jumping off of the Trump train. And this phone call is something that I've seen has been a wake-up call for many. When this plays out, and if it continues the way it is, and there is really no election fraud that can be proven in a court of law, then I think that that's also going to further that. I don't know where this all goes, but I've decided that I'm going to try and fight to restore the party to what it was. It's all I got. It's the best that I can do. Dennis on Facebook. It is sad and sick that the senators who are challenging have so much education in law and then try this. You know, it'd be one thing if there were some court challenges, if Trump was alleging fraud in a court of law, you know, that would be different. But none of that is happening. And I mentioned to you that Republican leadership in Georgia is very worried that Trump is chasing away people from actually voting. I don't know if you heard Gabriel Sterling today. Gabriel Sterling is the top election official in Georgia. lifelong Republican. And remember, Secretary of State, Republican, the governor, Republican. Georgia has been a Republican stronghold for quite a while. And that's why all of these allegations, you know, I thought he would have picked a different state, but I think he's going after Georgia because the totals are so close. It's 11,000. Wait, what is it?
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780. Well, one more than we have.
Sorry, it's that close. And so he's chosen to attack fellow Republicans. And, well, here it is. This is Gabriel Sterling talking about his hope for Republicans in this election.
Now, what we've seen also is a difference in the turnout models depending on congressional district and county in the state so far, in large part driven by the continuing misinformation and disinformation concerning the value of people's votes in this state. The secretary wants me to make clear that everybody's vote is going to count. Everybody's vote did count. I want to make that abundantly clear. If you care about, you know, the values and direction of the nation you want to see, it is your obligation to turn out and vote tomorrow, be you Democrat or Republican. However, right now, given the nature of the president's statements and several other people who have been aligned with him previously, who've literally had a rally saying protest and don't vote, we are specifically asking you and telling you, please turn out and vote tomorrow.
That's how worried they are. Please turn out and vote tomorrow. Now, those of you on TikTok who are claiming that there's so much evidence of fraud, this individual, Gabriel Sterling, has been keeping track of every single fraud allegation. In fact, what he does is, I guess he goes on social media and he looks for these and he finds them and he investigates them because he wants to make sure that their system is transparent and that there is integrity. So he has prepared a list of every single election fraud allegation that is out there, from the water main break to the video of the suitcases under the tables, the guy who claimed that he hacked Dominion systems from a Senate hearing. And he deals with each one of these allegations one at a time. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it took him 20 minutes. And so I'm warning you in advance that I'm telling you this is so worth the listen. I want you to hear his passion. I want you to hear his knowledge. And I want you to hear him tick these things off. And I want you to hear several times when he talks about erroneous tweets from the president and how claims from the president and his supporters are so easily debunked if they ever took the time to find out how these systems actually work. But they're not interested in finding out how these systems work. The president just wants one thing. He wants 11,780 votes. It's all he wants. He doesn't care how he gets them. So please, it's worth the listen. I'm going to play it for you. I've cut it down as much as I can. But if you have any questions, if you've heard any of these allegations, if you've seen them on TikTok, if you've seen them floating around, he takes on every single one. Again, this is Gabriel Sterling, Republican, lifelong Republican.
And the reason I'm having to stand here today is because there are people in positions of authority and respect who have said their votes didn't count, and it's not true. And I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to go through all this anti-disinformation Monday. It's whack-a-mole again. It is Groundhog Day again. I'm going to get to talk about things that I've talked about repeatedly for 2 months. But I'm going to do it again one last time, I'm hoping. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure people understand their votes count. Every person, every voice matters. And I know that there's people who fought for that for years about this. So let's start again. And yes, some of this is going to come out of the continuing statements from the president and some of his supporters. State Farm. All right. This has been one that's been conflated over several different things. We have multiple scan ballots. We have Ruby Freeman. We have the leak that it says a water main break, which wasn't a water main break. So in order to be fully transparent, one of the things we did, we had a local media organization, WSB, Justin over here. We went through it for hours and hours, walked through frame by frame and showed what happened. So let's start. If you go to securevotega.com, we have posted all the videos from State Farm for that day that cover the relevant periods. 5:23 a.m., they walk in and they discover what is essentially a pond on the floor where you can see water coming out of the sky. So they say, okay, we can't do our work here this morning. They call in the State Farm people. It's not Fulton County people, which is one of the other things they said. There's no Fulton County work order to fix the water leak. And guess what? It wasn't in a Fulton County facility. It was in State Farm. So they were the ones who fixed the leak. And it was a urinal that was overflowed because they were turned off because, guess what? Nobody's in State Farm because of COVID, other than this particular usage. So they turned off all those things, and it went over the edge of the relief valve, and that's what caused the leak. So they come in. Then you go to another one about 7 in the morning or so, where you have essentially the, I don't know what to call it, the drying Zamboni that's driving around on the carpet, cleaning it all up. Then at about 8:23, you see a woman bring in the table in question that has been the point of Mr. Giuliani's 90-second clip. She's pulling it with one hand, and she sets it down. There's nothing underneath it, okay? Then you can fast forward to later in the day, about 9:45 or so. Everybody there, there are two groups of people there. There's cutters and there are scanners. What happened was the cutters began putting their stuff away because everybody's under the impression they were going to get home. We have discovered this. So they start putting covers over the cutting machines and everything. So then we see also, while the monitors and the press are still in the room, they bring out the carriers, which are normal absentee ballot carriers. And I will admit, when I listened to the audio of the phone call and the president brought that up again and I heard it on a radio ad again today, I wanted to scream. I did scream at the computer and I screamed in my car at the radio talking about this because this has been thoroughly debunked. They bring out the normal absentee ballot carriers. There are monitors in the room. There is press in the room. They take the ballots that have been opened, put them in carrier trays, and put them in there, and then put them in the boxes, put the lid on because the lid matches the box. And then you see, at one point during the video, a woman crawling on the floor, putting the numbered seals on them so they can keep the chain of custody. Approximately 10:25, 10:30, the secretary in our office receives word that Fulton County is shutting down for the night at State Farm Arena. So as some of y'all who were there on election, I recall the secretary got a little irritated with this and made his feelings quite known. He said, some of us will be working through the night. We're glad to see that Fulton County sees the need to just go ahead and knock off for the evening. So Chris Harvey, our elections director, then calls Rick Barron, the elections director of Fulton County, who was at the other location, which was their English Street warehouse, because he was doing election day activities. Chris calls Rick. Rick says, we're not shutting down. Well, Chris says, it looks like you are. So then you can go back to the videotape and see Ralph Jones take a phone call of approximately almost 11 o'clock. And you can see his shoulders kind of shrug. He takes the phone call. He's being told at that point by his boss, Rick Barron, you need to stay and continue to scan. So he hangs up the phone, he goes over to some boxes, puts some more seals on them, because obviously, if you watch the videotape, many of the people that are there have been there since 7 in the morning. It's already 11 o'clock at night. They were all under the impression they were going to get to go home. So you see him spend about 30 seconds going, heck, what am I going to say to these people? So then he walks back over to the corner of a desk and says, I got the word, we got to keep on scanning. So they go back to the boxes that you see them put under the table at the approximately 10 o'clock hour. There is videotape of this. And this is what's really frustrating. The president's legal team had the entire tape. They watched the entire tape and then, and from our point of view, intentionally misled the state Senate, voters, and the people of the United States about this. It was intentional, it was obvious, and anybody watching this knows that. Anyone watching it knows that. That's why we released the entire tape for people to watch. So there's this claim that that was done. So they pull those out and begin to scan. Then the other claim comes from about a woman named Ruby Freeman and multiple scanning. One of the things you need to understand is a normal ballot processing, if there is a problem with a ballot, what it does is it stops. But before that, 4 or 5 will get through. So they say, delete that last batch and rescan it so they scan properly. That is the normal process that is done. Secondarily to that, everybody might be familiar with the fact that the president wanted us to do a hand recount, a hand retally, which we ended up doing under our audit. That audit showed that there was no problem with machine scanning. If somebody took a stack of ballots and scanned them multiple times, you would have a lot of votes with no corresponding ballots. So let's go over the numbers one more time. Statewide, it was for the sheer number of ballots, they were off by 0.1053%. For the margin, they were off by 0.0099%, which shows that the machines scanned properly. Our counties did a great job of following these batches and doing the hand count properly, appropriately, with scrutiny and with observers. So let's put that to bed right now. And one of the other things we did as part of our transparency is we have put all of those tally sheets online for every county so you can go through and look at them all. And it's at, again, the securevotega.com. Let's see. Let's go over the numbers that the president's team is claiming. We have a little chart over here. They're claiming there were 2,056 felons that voted. Our research, and we have better data because we are directly tied to the state government on this, Department of Corrections, and the other department, which I can't remember what it's called right now, basically tracks when people are on probation. There we go. We know exactly how many people voted for this. We have an hour bound of 74 potential people who were felons voted. What that means is that's the biggest number it could be. We will investigate and find out some of these people completed their sentences. Some of these people have the same name and birth date, so there's going to be some crossover there. So 74 is the hour bound. It's going to be lower than that. So let's be clear about that. Then there is the claim that 66,248 people below the age of 18 voted. The actual number is zero. Let me be clear, 66,000 versus zero. And the reason we know that is because the dates are on the voter registration. There are four cases where people requested their absentee ballot before they turned 18, but they turned 18 by the election day. That means that is a legally cast ballot. So again, 66,000, which is the biggest single number they have on these kind of votes, versus zero. They say that there's 2,423 people who voted without being registered. Let's just be clear about this. You can't do it. There cannot be a ballot issue to you. There's no way to tie it back to you. There's no way for them to have a name to correspond back to unless they are registered voters. So that number is zero. Then we've got 1,043 illegally voted using a P.O. box. Again, we're going through the investigation on this. So far, everyone we've seen has been when there is a mailboxes, et cetera, or something like that, in a multi-family building, like an apartment. So they will have what looks like P.O. boxes listed in the system, but they're actually the residential address of record for people who live in multi-family housing, like apartments. So that's everything we've seen so far. We haven't seen anybody actually registering to vote at a USPS P.O. box. Next one is 4,926 voted past the legal registration deadline. Again, it's zero. Do we have zero record of anybody doing that? Because the voter registration cutoff is a voter registration cutoff. So there's no corresponding way to do that. They couldn't be issued a ballot because they are not legally within the system of that to have ballots issued. 10,315 who died before the election. Again, our information from the Department of Vital Records, we go through county by county, shows potentially two. So far, two. It could change, it could go, but it's not 10,000. 395 cast ballots in two states. We're investigating that, but again, and we got double voters, which we were investigating. But again, we're talking handfuls, not tens of thousands. Let's remember, and I think we're all very clear on the number now, that it was 11,779. We've seen nothing in our investigations of any of these data claims that shows there's nearly enough ballots to change the outcome. And the secretary and I at this podium have said since November 3rd, there is illegal voting in every single election in the history of mankind because there are human beings involved in the process. It's going to happen. It's a question of limiting it and putting as many safeguards as you can in place to make sure it doesn't happen. All right. Oh, yeah. We had part of the hand tally be discussed in relation to the potential double scanning. Let's just go to the other ridiculous claims that Dominion voting machines are somehow using fractional voting or flipping votes. Again, by doing the hand tally, it shows none of that is true. Not a whit. And let's go back to the overall claims about Dominion voting systems in general. If you look in Wisconsin, they're claiming Wisconsin was stolen through Dominion voting machines. In the 14 counties in which Dominion voting machines were used in Wisconsin, the president got 59% of the vote. In the counties in Pennsylvania where Dominion voting machines were used, he got 52.5% of the vote. He made a claim at one point that over 900,000 votes were deleted by Dominion machines, and the 14 counties where that happened, they had 1.3 million people vote. That was 76% turnout. In order for 900,000 to have been deleted, they would have had to have 160% or 130% turnout. That did not happen because it cannot happen. Again, this is all easily, provably false. Yet the president persists. And by doing so, undermines Georgians' faith in the election system, especially Republican Georgians in this case, which is important because we have a big election coming up tomorrow, and everybody deserves to have their vote counted if they want it to be, Republican and Democrat alike. Now, let's move on to signature matching. There were claims about signature matching not being done. They were based on feelings. We believe no specific evidence was ever brought up until in one of the Trump filings, there was a specific allegation the signature verification was not being done on the absentee ballot request form properly in Cobb County during the June primary. So that's the first time we had a specific actionable claim of signature match not being done. So with that in mind, the governor graciously offered, after the secretary and he discussed, potentially using GBI resources. So we got GBI to come alongside Secretary of State investigators, multiple teams. Vic Reynolds stood here last week to announce the outcome of that. And of the 15,118 absentee ballot envelopes that they investigated, they found two with potential problems. Two. 99.99% was properly done. And of those two, the actual voter who was intended to be marked as voting was the actual voter. They could have been done through a cure period, which would have been a better way to do that. Another thing they want to talk about is the vast difference in rejection rates. Well, what we've seen is there was not a vast difference in rejection rates. What's happening is, in order to confuse people because they don't understand election systems, is they're conflating the entirety of absentee ballots that were rejected versus those that were rejected for signature mismatch or missing signature. Now, we're also comparing apples to oranges. In 16, I've done this so long, I don't want to screw up these numbers, but I'm going to give the general, don't hold me this exact number. I think it was 0.26%. In 18, it was 0.16%. And in 2020, so far, it's 0.15%. We've gotten some updated numbers on this now. And the difference is, in 2019, HB 316 was passed, which allowed there to be curing of ballots. So there are teams of Republicans and Democrat young people running around the state as we speak, finding people who have signature issues to cure their ballots. That's going on right now. And the Democrats did a much better job of that during the general election. The Republicans were not prepared. The Democrats had their own form set up. They had teams set up. They were ready to go. It was sort of a late entry on the Republican side to do some of those. And about 5,000 total ballots were rejected for some purpose, and about 2,600 of those were cured. So that means the final rejection number was around 2,400 ballots, around the total of 5 million, or a percentage of the 1.3 million that we saw that were voted absentee. Let's go into some of the more new things. There is no shredding of ballots going on. That's not real. It's not happening. There's shredding of envelopes that were the non-used ones, or there's also shredding of the secrecy envelopes that came through. We saw some of those in the Senate hearing, and it's obvious that they are the secrecy envelopes, which have no evidentiary value because there's no signature on it. There's no way to match it back. They're just basically trash. The law requires you keep the signature and oath envelopes and the ballots themselves for 22 months. Those are all being kept. Let's see. This is what I don't fully understand. No one is changing parts or pieces out of Dominion voting machines. That's not a real, I don't even know what that means. It's not a real thing. That's not happening. The president mentioned on the call yesterday or from 2 days ago. That's, again, not real. I don't even know how exactly to explain that. Let's see. Secretary Raffensperger does not have a brother named Ron Raffensperger. That is also not real. The president tweeted that out as well. Let's see. God, such a long list. Oh, yes, the other really fantastical thing we saw the other day was a potential hacking of Dominion equipment during a Senate hearing last week. That did not happen either. Let's go over a couple of reasons why. First of all, ballot marking devices and scanners, neither one have modems. It's very hard to hack things without modems. There's nothing to talk to. So let's get that clear. The poll pads, which is a no-ink device, does have the ability to connect to Wi-Fi, which we use in it for loading purposes and in case there's an issue on election day, but they are not hooked up live all the time. And if they saw anything, they could see traffic back and forth, but it would basically be like watching a river go by. You couldn't get in. It's essentially if they did this, which we have no proof of. We have claim after claim after claim with zero proof. Zero. And signed affidavits are part of an evidentiary trail, but they have to be investigated. And let's remember, everybody who came and gave testimony, it was public comment, at the state Senate hearing. This office was never asked to come and discuss those items with that state Senate subcommittee. That didn't happen either, which I find interesting because obviously they're making wild claims that, again, undermine people's faith in the system. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is another one that came over the weekend from the founder of Overstock.com, that they had found thousands and thousands of fake ballots in Fulton County Warehouse. For any of you all in the press who have been to the Fulton County Warehouse, these are the emergency ballots that have been sitting in that warehouse since before the November election, very much in plain view of everybody to see. And what happened, the reason they had a high number, first of all, every county has to have those emergency ballots by rule. The state election board rule says you have to have 10% of the available ones for each polling location, and they have to be printed for that polling location for the ballot style so they can track it properly. In Fulton County's case, y'all may remember that there was a COVID outbreak in their warehouse not long before the logic and accuracy testing period was happening for the general election. In a very wild abundance of caution, they had what they referred to as not plan A, not plan B, but they referred to as plan C, which was, if we can't get people in to do the logic and accuracy testing on all of our equipment, we're going to print up 100% of our ballots we need to let hand marker ballots be what we have to do if we cannot get the machines done. They did that out of an abundance of caution, given the unknowable unknowns surrounding COVID and their ability to get employees in to do that. They were thankfully able to get the employees in. Dominion staff came in to help them make sure they got the logic and action test done, so they were able to deploy all of their BMDs and the BMD carriers and scanners, so they didn't have to use those ballots, but that's why those ballots existed. They are not fake ballots. They are real ballots. They are unused ballots. And what I find really interesting about this is they were in shrink-wrapped items in boxes that are sealed. What can you do with those? They're sitting right there. Everybody saw them. Let's see. Trying to think what other, here's part of the problem, y'all. I sit down and try to write down everything that we see that comes over the internet as a potential thing of disinformation. It gets exploded. We all look at these things. We know there's lots of bots that are doing it. We have foreign powers that are pushing some of these things at the same time. So here's the takeaway from all this. This office has been open and transparent. We are continuing investigations. There are questions about pristine ballots. That's one last thing, the pristine ballot thing. There are three reasons you can have the quote-unquote pristine ballot, which is essentially the absentee slash emergency slash provisional ballot. There's first one. Military and overseas voters oftentimes will get what they call an electronic ballot. What happens is once we get the ballot built, starting the 49th to the 45th day, we will send emails out to those people who want to have electronic ballot delivery, which is many of our military servicemen and women. So they take that, they print it, and they bubble in their choices. Now, obviously, that's on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper or 11 by 14 where they can print it on. So it's not sized properly to go through a scanner. So when that comes back to the county, they will duplicate that on a flat, unfolded piece of paper on the absentee ballot slash emergency ballot. That's a normal process for many of the military and overseas voters that are electronically delivered. The other situation you might see that in is an emergency ballot situation. If a ballot marking device goes down or wasn't used, which is the case we saw in the morning in Spalding County on election day, they will use the emergency ballots as backup. And those will just be scanned directly into the machine and not folded. And the final place you would see that is on a damaged or adjudicated ballot that was not adjudicated through the electronic system. Or in Fulton's case, what you saw was they were putting so many of the absentee ballots through their cutters that occasionally would catch the ballot itself and slice it. In Fulton County's case, they did the vast majority, I think 100% of their duplication on a BMD. In Cobb County's location, I think they did all those on hand-marked paper ballots. So there's a difference of use and processes within each one of the counties. So that's why you would see, quote unquote, pristine ballots. Wednesday, we've all heard the reports that there's going to be several senators and congressmen who will be objecting to the electors being seated. We anticipate that each time they do that, they're going to go, they'll separate out, they'll have the debate for 2 hours. The state of Georgia's electors will get seated. They will look at this evidence as best they can in such a way, and it will be voted on by the House and Senate. We anticipate that, and that will prove our certification was proper by the end of the day, and that we follow the process properly. And I give you back to Senator Tom Cotton's statement from earlier today that says this is the process that we follow. This is the appropriate step under the Constitution and the laws of the state of Georgia and the laws of the United States. So, with that, I want to say, if you're a Georgia voter, if you want your values reflected by your elected officials, I strongly beg and encourage you, go vote tomorrow. Do not let anybody discourage you. Do not self-suppress your own vote. Do not make a self-fulfilling prophecy out of doing this. Don't let anybody steal your vote that way. And that's what's happening. If you self-suppress, you're taking away your important voice from this election.
Was that something or what? That guy is amazing. What's crazy is think about all the time and tax dollars that he is spending just debunking, watching on the internet, watching for the latest claim and the latest allegation, and then diving in and finding out what happened, what is it based upon, and what is the truth. This is Orion. Orion says there is illegal voting going on in every election in the history of mankind, which is going to happen because people are involved, but not enough to amount to more than a hill of beans. This guy is amazing. He's quoting the official, the Republican official that you just heard. And there's some important questions here. Why is President Trump tweeting things that aren't true? Why is it that there are videos that are shared by Trump's team that are edited? The infamous video of them pulling the ballots out from under the tables and running them through the machines. That gets addressed by Gabriel Sterling in the video that they have posted, and they've posted all of the videos on their website. You can see when those were placed under the tables, why they were placed under the tables, and why they came out. He explains all of that. The, quote, water main break that wasn't a water main break, he explains it all. But when you want election fraud to happen, when you've already decided, then you're going to believe every single thing that is presented to you. And in today's crazy world, you're not just going to believe it, but you're going to share it. Unfortunately, the truth is a little bit harder to swallow. The truth is that President Trump, yes, he fights for a lot of conservative values. Yes, he has done a lot of things that I consider to be good and that I supported him on. But that doesn't mean that he's not trying to take this country down with him, because he lost in a legitimate election. If you can't even allege fraud in one of your court filings, if you can't present actual fraud, if you have to lie in tweets, if you have to only present edited videos, if you're only asking for how many votes?
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes. One more than we have. Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts? 11,000.
It becomes obvious that the person who's really trying to steal the election is Trump. But see, here's the thing, is that diehard Trump supporters cannot believe that Biden got more votes. And that's the heart of everything. That's why you can't get them off the idea of fraud. That's why they believe every single thing that's put in front of them. Because they just can't process that. And because of that, fraud had to happen. Just like that ridiculous number going around about how many counties Trump won compared to how many counties Biden won. And somehow that's mathematical evidence of fraud. It's not. If you can go out into the cities and you can generate millions of more votes in the cities, you don't need to add a single county to your tally to win an election. And the Democrats know that. And that's where they focus their efforts. And if you were focusing your efforts on getting out a vote, I promise you, you're not going to focus on counties that have 100 people in them. You're going to focus on population centers. That is the way that it works. Let's see. This is Dennis. Dennis says, alleging in court is not presenting false evidence. So he knows what he is doing in court to stay out of trouble. I agree. There are legal ramifications when you make claims in court. That's why these affidavits are not making their way into court, because they don't stand up to scrutiny. It's like the one girl who was in that hearing, was it in Arizona? The one that everybody thought was drunk? And she talked about all of the alleged fraud that she saw, and it turns out her job was to clean the glass on the voting machines. She doesn't have any knowledge of what's going on there, but we know for a fact she's a diehard Trump supporter. Let's see, Orion. Trump's lawyers would all be disbarred for making allegations without evidence. If you're interested, what the president is fighting in courts are what he has presented in courts is not fraud. He's presented questions about changes to voting systems or to absentee ballots. And he actually has some legitimate claims there. If they had made those claims back when those decisions were made. But they didn't fight those decisions when they were made. And in fact, they ran on those very decisions. And many Republicans won using those new systems. So what that's called in the courts is latches, that you have to present your case in a reasonable amount of time. And if you don't, then you don't have a legal standing to overturn an election. So the president has alleged those types of things in a court of law. He has not alleged fraud. And it is so telling that the case that they are presenting in the court of public opinion does not match the case that they are selling in a court of law. But they know that the majority of people on either side of the aisle, they know they're not going to read the actual court filings. But I'm crazy. I do that in my spare time as a hobby. And I was shocked at the lack of allegations. Well, let me say this again. I was not shocked, because this president has been lying about election fraud since 2012. I was not shocked that he's not alleging any actual fraud in a court of law now. This is Jay. He says, doesn't he say there was fraud all the time? Yes, in the court of public opinion, he says there was fraud. He says it all the time. He said it on election night. Why isn't he in the document that you present to the court in your initial filing? Why isn't he alleging fraud there? Now, you may say Sidney Powell and some of those other attorneys, they are alleging fraud in their cases. Yeah, but the Trump team has distanced themselves from them. And those cases also allege that Hugo Chavez was involved. And so much of what's been in those cases has been completely debunked. But any case with Donald Trump's name on it, they don't allege fraud. Isn't that interesting? This is Ken. Hey, Ken, how's it going? Ken has a question. How long will it take the Republican Party to recover from Trump, or is it just too late? Can a different party arise from these ashes? I have asked my Magic 8-Ball, see, I'm holding it right here. I've asked my Magic 8-Ball that question many times, and it is stumped. there's a couple of different scenarios. Trump fades away into obscurity. Trump starts another party, the Patriot Party, which if you're on TikTok, you see the logo for the Patriot Party all the time. And he siphons off a good portion, thus guaranteeing that Democrats will remain in power. There's all kinds of different scenarios. This is Big Tom on TikTok. Is Trump going to be our president or not? No. He will be your president until the 19th. But then he will be gone. His final hope is on Wednesday, and there literally is no hope. Short of martial law and civil war, there is no hope. He has lost every legal recourse. President Trump will not be in the White House on the 20th. Let's see. Jay asks, why was the vote so close to get Pelosi back at the gavel? It was so close because Republicans picked up all kinds of seats in the House. Now, how they did that in all of these states with rigged elections, I don't know. I jest. Yes, I do know. This is London Blue. She says, I'm stoned. Or are you asking if I'm stoned? I don't know. This is David. The last 4 years have caused me to cringe when people treat conservative and Republican as synonymous. They seem to be more different in meaning each day now. Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And again, Sarah is hoping that a third party may have a chance to have a voice. The only way a third party works is if it pulls from both sides. So it's going to have to be a highly moderate party. And you're gonna have to pull from Democrats as well. Now, if you can see a scenario where that happens, where a group gets together and they pull together middle right and middle left, then they have a chance. And maybe that's the direction that we have to go. But you're not gonna get it by just splintering off Republicans. There's no way. Let's see here. Robin says, I think Rudy G bailed out of the presidential election because he got wind of the imminent fall of the housing markets. This is Lauren. Jay, do you ever write down all of your research with links so we can also view it? Thanks for all your work. That's a great question, Lauren. The problem is that it's a constant. So I never stop. So I've curated all of the, I think I've explained to you some of the things that I do. So when I see a news story, and regardless of what it is, whether it's a political story, whether it's a science story, tech story, I look at the sources for that story. And instead of following the news source, I go back and I try to track down the original sources for everything. And then I start following those sources. So over 20 years of being a talk show host, I've curated this list of about 30 different sources. And yeah, it does include mainstream media as well from both sides of the aisle. And I get about 2,000 links a day. But ultimately, it's just a matter, Lauren, of research. Using Google, typing in the stories that you see. It takes a lot of time and effort, and most people don't have that time and effort. And that leaves them at the mercy of these political powers who are trying to manipulate people because they know that they're never going to go back and try and look at the original original source. This is Jay again. Can we make a case that Republicans voted to have Republicans in office, just not Trump as president? Yeah, and I've actually made that case. If you look at the numbers, you will see that there are a significant number of people who voted for a Republican representative, congressman, even state senator, even governor, that on the top of the ballot could not bring themselves to vote for Trump. And this leads me to where I'm at politically, I believe that this country is still a center-right country. And if you look at the polling and the results of this election, you will see that those people who were crying for socialism or defund the police, those people lost, except in the extremely blue locations. The idea of socialism was shot down in this election. And that's why I believe that this was President Trump's election to win, if he wasn't so dang divisive. And if he would have handled COVID differently, then I think that those two things could have saved him. If he would have turned COVID into what previous leaders turned a war into, which was a national cause where everybody comes together and we fight for each other, and he turned it into this patriotic event where we were fighting for each other, and he led us down that path, I think he's the president again for four more years, even with his other divisive behavior. That is just me. This is Darren. I feel the same about liberal and Democrat. I consider myself liberal, but absolutely refuse to attach myself to the Democratic Party. In general, I hate the party system. I can't stand it. If you want a really great read, George Washington's Farewell Address, warning everybody about political parties. Unfortunately, it is so ingrained in our system, I don't know how to get us out. So I'm fighting within it to try and create change. This is Rick on that same point. Remember what happened when Ross Perot ran against Bush and Clinton? Let's see. This is John on Facebook. Today I heard that up to 51 cases were thrown out, including the Supreme Court. Why isn't that enough for the Trumpers and elected officials to stop this madness? Well, I'll give you their line, because I do my research. I know their line. I can fight for their cause if I wanted to. Their line is this: those cases were not thrown out on the merits of the case. Those cases were thrown out on technicalities. So the actual evidence of voter fraud has not been heard in a court of law. That's what they will tell you. But if you can't overcome technical issues, you still don't have a case. That's what they're missing. Is you've got to be able to have a technically sound case to get into a court of law. If you don't, you can't get in. So that is a problem unto itself. And as I said, any lawsuit that Trump's name is on is not alleging fraud anyway. So, that's what I hear, like when people bring up civil war, and I say, good luck fighting the United States military, because they think they're going to be fighting Democrats, which is hilarious. They picture them with their arms and Democrats, without their arms, because somehow they've been lulled into the idea that Democrats don't own guns, which I've known plenty who own guns. But they think that that's going to be the Civil War, when the reality is, if you've exhausted every legal measure, if you've lost every legal challenge, and every constitutional recourse has been used and exhausted, and you still could not prove your case, the military will side with the Constitution. And anybody who chooses to try and break off and have a civil war, you'll be fighting the United States military. It's hilarious to me. In fact, I see people on TikTok even today talking about how the National Guard being brought into Washington, D.C. for Wednesday's protests is somehow a sign from Trump that he's going to implement martial law. They're not recognizing that those troops are there to keep the peace among the protesters. And that's not to suggest that the protesters are going there to commit violent acts, but it's very likely that you're going to have counter protesters. And just like we saw in the last one, that could lead to violence. They're not there for Trump to somehow commit, start a military tribunal and overturn these elections. There's nothing in the Constitution that supports that idea. Nothing. States get to choose their own elections. You want to challenge state elections? You do it in state courts, and you do it through state legislatures. That's how it works. That's one of the beauties of the Constitution. It's one of the things that I love, state power and state authority. But again, the Constitution is only good enough for people when they get their way. And when they don't get their way, they're ready to throw it out. And if you don't think talking about civil war is ready to throw it out, okay. That would be interesting. All right, I think I'm at the end here. Any other comments? We've been going for an hour and a half now. I just really wanted to play for you Gabriel Sterling. And if anybody, from this point on, if anybody wants to share with you their claims about election fraud, the water main break, the video of the ballots coming out from under the tables, the hacking of the Dominion machines, dead people voting, send them the link of Gabriel Sterling debunking every single one of those things. Again, everyone became an election expert on November 3rd. Those of us who have been covering elections for 20 years, we've seen this before. Those who have been covering Trump, well, he's been playing the voter fraud game for a long time. Ken, if I can get your whole comment up here, it's hard with longer comments. So discouraged, have supported Republicans for years. Now Mike Lee goes from calling for candidate Trump to step down in 2016 to now he's Captain Moroni. Trump is a dangerously toxic narcissist, so instead of voting third party like last time, and I actually voted for two Democrats because McAdams is moderate enough for me, and it seems Burgess had his lips permanently sewn to Trump's butt. Ken, I did my best. I threw my hat in the ring. I ran against Burgess. We got a lot of support. And I will tell you that we had 20 plus thousand people who chose otherwise. Is that a start of something? I don't know. But it should at least tell you that you're not alone. It tells me that I'm not alone. And sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that all Republicans support Trump. It's just not the case. I think a lot of people who did vote for him held their nose while they did it because they just couldn't. I mean, like me, I just am so done with Trump. But how do I? I'm a conservative. How do I allow Democrats to take power? It's a very difficult situation that we're all being put in, those of us who are standing on principle over party. So my hope was, and I've told you this before, my hope was that Biden would get elected, that the House would stay with, I assume the House would stay with Democrats, and that the Senate would stay with Republicans. And then we would at least have a Democrat, but with checked power. And for me, that was the compromise. That was the best compromise that I could hope for in getting rid of Donald J. Trump. But now, because of all of these shenanigans and all of these claims of election fraud, Trump could very well ensure that Georgia goes to the Democrats. And then my hope is gone, and a lot of yours. This is Ryan. Just say no to civil war, kids. Yeah, absolutely. This is Jay. He says, I couldn't vote for a racist. Look, I'm not one to call other people a racist. I don't know their heart. I do think that it is poor leadership when you can't draw a clear distinction and where you allow things to sit out there that at least can be put upon you, so that people can use the R word against you. That's just Trump not wanting to chase away any of his supporters. And so, but I understand, Jay. I understand. Let's see, Amy. Seems like Trump is absolutely nothing like conservative values. How can he be the leader of the party? Like, if you want to follow me on TikTok, there will be one benefit for you there. And that is, I've been posting clips of Ronald Reagan to remind people what real leadership looks like, what real conservatism looks like. If you look at the bottom of the screen on this broadcast, you'll see my TikTok handle. It's jmcfarland0. And it's remarkable. That's why I became a conservative, because of that man. And now this is where we're at. I think it's just years and years of being trained that the other side is evil. And that instead of this being a battle of ideas, it's now a battle of right and wrong. And you don't negotiate with Darth Vader, you strike him down. And I think that that was our destination from the beginning. And George Washington said it would be our destination. And here we are. So somehow we've got to get back to principles. And somehow we've got to restore the Republican Party to principled leadership. I'm not sure how we do that, but I think it starts here. I think that us having this discussion, us coming together with like minds, is certainly a way to do that. If you can do me a favor and share this and follow me on my social media and help spread the word, it's got to start somewhere, right? And maybe there will be a snapback. I sure hope that there will be. I'm going to keep fighting for what I believe in. And I'm so grateful to each of you who take the time to share your thoughts and your feelings as well. We're not alone. We're fighting this together. This is Casey. What was the name of the video that debunks the fraud claims? You can just type in Georgia election official. You can Google that. Google Gabriel Sterling on voter fraud allegations. Or if you want, as soon as I sign off, this video will be available on Facebook and YouTube. And you can just go back. I posted 20 minutes of it in this podcast. You can just go back and watch it there if you want. Let's see. Amy says silent majority. Jay says, I've grown more wary of white people in my 42 years of life. Jay, have faith. Please don't fall into the trap of judging everybody by the actions of a certain number of people. We need to somehow get to judging people by the content of their character. That's where we need to be. So I would encourage you to continue to focus on actions instead of skin color or labels. It's something that I really try to focus in on. It's something that I practice, literally, that I focus on actions. So I never try to make it about Trump is this terrible, evil person. I will tell you what his actions are, and I'll tell you how I agree or disagree with those actions. And that hopefully will keep you from falling into some of the pitfalls, because there's a dangerous pitfall when you're fighting against wrongs, and you have a lot of wrongs to fight against, that your pendulum pushes too far, and you actually start to emulate some of the behavior that you're fighting against. And I'm not suggesting you're there. I don't know you. This is the first time we've conversed. But I'm glad you're here. And I hope that makes sense. Casey says, thanks, buddy. Listen, everybody, it's a Monday night. I know some of you have to get to work early in the morning. So I'm going to let you go. Again, share this video. Share the link to Gabriel Sterling. I'll put that in the description as well, so that you can share it with anybody who is trying to tell you about all of this amazing evidence. If they only knew. They only knew. G-Hub says, good night, Jay, on Twitch. Hey, good to see you. Thank you. Everybody have a wonderful night. Tomorrow I'm going to come back. I'm not sure what time. It's hard for me to schedule a time still because I'm still doing my side hustles. But I want to go through what's going to happen on Wednesday, on January 6th, and who is going to dispute the election and who isn't, and what does it all mean. Please take a minute, if you can, if you're still doing okay in the pandemic, to scan that QR code on the screen. Become a monthly patron of this podcast, or even just a one-time donation would be fantastic. Help me be able to do this and bring it to you on a full-time basis every single day at the same time even. How would that be? Everybody else is saying good night. So with that, thank you, everybody. Rest easy. There's still a lot of hope and a lot of great people out there. So again, I have hope. Maybe that hope is misplaced or misguided, but I do. And maybe that can send some your way as well. Everybody, good night.